I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion. Hey. Welcome, episode 42 of The Fashion Hags.
It's time to get serious. We've been giggling. Mm-hmm.
Quit messing around.
No more
serious
around.
Too much
show. Too much giggles. That's not what we're about.
Quit it.
Serious.
I know there's vodka running through your veins.
There is.
Don't let it.
Good vodka.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
We've been we've been tasting some different vodkas and we're trying to figure out what we like.
Not tonight. That's not like
no, not tonight. just me in general.
This is not gay bar drink special vodka.
No, this isn't the Alberta
this is
vodka
grown up
that comes
people
in
vodka.
The plastic jug.
It's not a plastic jug.
One.
Or the one or the Absolute vodka that comes in with a pump.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
What?
Absolute vodka, cocktails perfected.
For a certain price point.
Yeah.
Am I in the Interior Illusions Lounge? That's a Drag Race reference if anyone out there is a Drag Race fan.
I bet there's a few.
There's probably one or two.
Yeah. That Venn diagram of fashion hags and Drag Race fans is probably a lot.
A lot of overlap.
There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some mutual things happening there.
Mm-hmm. Wigs.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wig talk. Shade.
Vodka.
Gayness.
Yeah. Lots of gayness.
We have a, there's another voice if you guys are confused or thrown.
Hi, guys.
That's Olivia.
I'm Olivia.
This is my friend Olivia Hayward, and she is here. We invited her at the very last minute, and thankfully she was available.
Yes, thank you.
She was available to cancel her plans and come and join us.
I did. I bailed on a dinner with my aunt.
Oh.
Sorry, aunt.
Sorry.
Sorry, Andy.
She'll never know.
It'll be fine. But we are excited to have Olivia here. I've been talking about getting her on for a long time. And Olivia works for a pretty big company here in product development and raw materials primarily.
Yes.
So she just went on a trip to Asia last March.
Yeah, it was the beginning of March for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we wanted to pick her brain. Yeah. About that whole trip and about raw materials, because that is something I don't know a whole lot about. It's something that none of us have really got really into,
with.
And it's a really specialized kind of a field, and so we're stoked to hear about that. But we're going to kiki quick first and
let's catch
up with everybody. Yes. What we should know primarily right off the bat is that she came in the right t-shirt.
I did.
She's got her hag shirt on. It's pumping me up.
Yeah.
So excited when I saw you walk in the door.
I know. I was like, oh, you're gaining clout of this. Yeah, brownie points big time.
Yeah. It's a great t-shirt, though, seriously.
Good
fit.
It's a real nice one.
We all know how it was made.
They're real nice. Know where they came from.
Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah.
I'm wearing
we did end up giving money to charity, too. I don't know if we forgot to mention that.
I don't know if we did mention that.
But we did give some of the proceeds to Dress for Success, which is works with low income and people who need help getting jobs, getting clothes for jobs and job interviews and stuff. So helps. I don't know if it's just women or men too. I forget now.
It's just women.
Maybe just women.
I think it's mostly just women.
So if you don't have an outfit for a job interview,
gender is a construct,
and everybody needs clothes for jobs.
Exactly.
So we were happy to throw
money
there.
We donated some money to them. Yeah. There we go.
I want to mention I'm wearing my podcast shirt too. It's not our hang shirt, but it's my favorite murder
Your
toxic
murderino?
Masculinity shirt.
Yeah.
Running the party again.
Pretty great. I saw they have tote bags now that say fuck politeness on them. I like that too.
Oh,
that's
good.
Like that. Somebody posted a picture of that
that's real good.
Oh man.
I like that a lot.
I almost let something slip that needed to be edited out, so I'm just gonna
keep it in.
I'm gonna keep it in after the podcast.
Save that for when the recording's turned off.
When we have the real tea session.
Well, on that note, Evan, what's new with you? What's going on?
Your real tea?
I am preparing everything in my being for the summer of Shania.
Oh, wow!
Nice.
I have my oxygen tank. I have my chaps. I have
leopard print.
I have the complete discography of Miss Eileen Twain.
Yes. Oh, yep.
I have everything because as of this podcast, Shania will have released her new single.
Oh,
and she's doing a huge campaign called the Summer of Shania, hashtag Summer of Shania.
Get ready.
She took over Times Square earlier this week, and it had like all of these images and videos of her entire career, all like plastered all over Times Square. Like all these buses in New York had like these advertisements. And then yesterday she took over Piccadilly Circus in London.
Wow.
So it's like a worldwide thing.
Holy shit.
So I'm just like, she consistently just like keeps gagging me.
Blowing your mind.
Blowing my fucking mind.
Giving Canadian divas. Back in the game. Celine's back in the game. Shania's back in the
game. Back in the game. They were never
Alanis
out of the game.
Alanis Morissette's getting the musical of no. Like Jagged Little Pill, I heard.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Wow.
Alanis.
Well, this
she
is
really spoke
we can't
language.
We can't really do better than this. This has been fun.
Yeah, there you go.
But yes, yeah, so and she just released the name of her new album and the album art today. And it's just like classic Shania, just like lace bra, leopard gloves.
Oh, God.
Like full diva, yes. Black and white image. And the new album is called Shania Now.
Oh.
So I'm just like,
could
dying,
it be more perfect?
Absolutely dying. Like, yeah.
Could it be more perfect?
It's on her Instagram. It's like one of those like grid photos. So like she released like one part of the photo like every half hour. Mm-hmm. And it's like finally complete and it's just so good.
The country boy.
I've been getting like tagged in all these things all fucking day. It's just so good. Look at it.
Oh, that is pretty classic.
Man.
Yeah.
She looks good.
She does look good.
She's like 50. How old is she?
She's like 50.
She's gotta be more than 50.
She's more than 50.
Yeah.
Older than she was like.
Good Lord.
She was turning 50 when she was in Vegas, and that was in 2000.
And that was a few years
2014.
Ago.
2014.
Oh.
Okay.
Ask Evan. He knows all. Yeah.
I know it all.
Who am I just asking random questions? I need to direct them with the expert.
I also found out that Shania Twain is a status Indian.
Is she really?
I knew she had some sort of.
Yeah.
Native.
Not by blood, but by adoption, because her adopted father. Has status in Ontario.
Interesting.
And when because of blood quantum and like the weird misogynistic rules of the Indian Act, she was able to become status through adoption.
Wow. So you can become status through adoption, but if you're a woman, it just gets
your
killed
children
after
don't,
two.
You're just
no after one.
So your grandma.
So say a native a status woman marries a white man, their children won't have status. But
I thought it was one generation. I thought there was a generation between.
Ah, fuck.
If a native man marries a white woman, the woman gets status, and so does all their children.
Cool.
The other way around.
Happy fucking birthday, Canada. Fuck.
150 years of awesomeness.
Jeez.
Oh, I made the mistake of watching the Canada Then and Now documentary on CBC, the first episode.
Okay.
It's revisionist history in its finest. Like,
oh, no.
I watched probably like the first 20 minutes and I was like, okay, I'm done here. Like,
yep,
this
there
is,
we go.
This is everything I knew it was going to be and I need not go any further.
No, you know how this ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all do.
Cool.
We all know how this ends.
Oh, boy.
Crazy. On a lighter note.
Shania.
An Indigenous woman is taking over the world.
In a leopard print.
In leopard print.
In lingerie.
Ugh.
Is leopard print still a neutral if it is head to finger to toe?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still a neutral. Okay. It's like you're wearing a black bodysuit. Yeah.
Okay. Wearing skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a leopard skin.
That's true.
It is. Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's right. That's true.
But yeah, like if there's not a tour attached to this, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Of course there's a tour.
I've never seen her live. And she was here last year, the day before my birthday. And I couldn't go because I had no fucking money at that point. But now I'm ready to like
start saving
like
pennies.
VIP, like meet and greet. Spending like I'm going to be like, like paper.
You're going to bring some sketches and be like, Shania, this is what
I'm
going to
bring garments. I'm going to bring garments.
Yeah, just throw them up on stage.
Just bring the whole rail.
Throw a garment bag on stage.
Shania!
Oh, God, yeah.
Shit. I like it. I like it. Well, good luck.
That's very exciting.
Abby,
I know how much joy it brings you.
What's going on in your house?
Not much is going on in our house.
I see Margot has a new tattoo on her hand and her face.
Yes, my going through obsessions with Maybe if Margo were down here, she could talk about her Band-Aid obsession and her Hello Kitty temporary tattoo obsession, mm-hmm. which I fully support. Sure, you want a bunch on your face? Go for
cool.
it. The first time Dave's like, what's on her face? I'm like, Hello Kitty stars. You should see,
wash
you should see her thighs. Hello Kitty tattoos. But other than that, not too much. The weather's getting nice. We're spending some time outside, which is good. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, my lovely friend Alicia Tobin made me some waffles the other day. I know that's not super exciting, but they were so good.
Whoa, don't sell waffles.
We ate outside.
Come on.
It was lovely. And Alicia's like, oh, I love cooking breakfast. And I'm like, I love eating breakfast and hate cooking.
This is gonna work
so
out
next
well.
Saturday at 10 a.m., we'll see then.
Breakfast thanks. Outside, too, is such a luxury.
Yeah, she's got a nice little balcony, and we all sat outside, and that's the dogs nice. Were idiots, which was great.
The best.
Very entertaining. Got some waffles.
Are they pals, Hank and Grandpa?
They're starting to be.
Because Grandpa's except, old and Hank is so young.
Yeah. But so. Mind you, Grandpa goes over to Hank's house and just steals all his toys. And then Hank's like, what? And
what's
then
happened?
Grandpa's a little bit of an asshole about it. So then we have to take all the toys away. But they're very entertaining, the two of
that's
them.
So. I can imagine.
Yeah. Every once in a while. And actually, Hank and Margo, the puppy and the toddler, are become friends.
Oh, that's good.
So sometimes we go and check in on Hank during the day.
Right.
Let him out to pee and stuff. And then Margo gets really excited. There's a video on my Instagram of Margo just standing on the porch going, Hank, come outside and play. Like, Alicia's at work. She's going to be home in half an hour. Like, no, we're not going upstairs getting Hank right now. It's fine. Oh, well.
Kids and dogs, though. I mean, can you get any better?
Yeah, and my dog doesn't give a shit about our kids. Like, he's like, I get them away. They drop food. That's really the extent of his interest. Whereas Hank is very interested in what Margo has to do. Mostly in right. things, like food she's holding.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't let the dog steal your popsicle, kid.
Oh, he'll do it, I'm sure.
He will. And she just walks around like a cheese stick right at dog mouth level. Yeah. Just, like, super oblivious to, like... watching where that cheese stick is pointed. And of course the dog thinks, oh, it's right at my mouth level. It
it's
must
for
be
me.
For me. And then and then the drama. Good thing we always have more cheese sticks. Yes. We always have cheese sticks in our house.
Back up.
Yes. We just necessary. Get you another one. It's fine. Yeah. We are a cheese house. Always be more cheese. Cheese and popsicles. Always have cheese and popsicles.
Mm-hmm. Which is really, if you, I mean, for a solution for a dog
down.
Or a kid.
Yeah.
That's really
totally
top two.
Fine.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You can get over a lot of hurdles in life. Cheese and popsicles.
Whoa, 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 you guys. Cheese popsicles?
Oh.
That's not going to work, is
maybe
it?
Maybe not so no, much.
No. We'll have to brainstorm this
I
one.
I don't know how frozen cheese works.
What if you just had cheese?
On a stick?
On a stick.
And it was cooked.
In the shape of a popsicle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just have a cheese stick
fried.
In one hand and a popsicle in the other hand and just bite, bite, bite,
or that.
Bite.
Yep.
We can make this work.
You'd have to have complimentary flavors. You can have like a pear one and like a brie or something.
Ooh, you could get really artisanal.
Get real fancy.
Oh my God.
Like a honey Stilton and then, you know.
Ooh. Stilton though?
I'd like a Stilton.
Oof.
I like a blue cheese.
What?
A little salty or stinky one.
So good.
Oh.
No kidding. Thank crazy.
Give me like a cheddar? Like an old hard cheddar.
Yeah.
Like
that's
one that like
loves
the like
the
crunches that you can like
yeah, like the good
crystals.
British ones
yeah.
that like
oh,
crumble.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's not like yeah, the waxy like the ones we get over one. Here. It's like ooh. the good crumbly yep. ones.
I'm obsessed with this sliced, like pre-sliced urban spice Havarti cheese right
Havarti's
now.
Havarti's the
oh.
shit.
I do.
So good.
Love Havarti.
So creamy.
Havarti is good.
Love. I put in everything. I probably like it's probably like the most expensive thing like
you'll buy
the, in like yeah. ratio of things
sure.
that I'll buy.
Yeah.
When I grocery shop, it's just like
oh, yeah.
even if it's not if it's on sale, 3 packs.
You gotta
not
on, yeah. yourself.
Nothing
yeah.
short.
It's like it's gotten to the point where I need to if I'm gonna shop now, I fucking hate grocery shopping.
Ugh, the worst.
So it's like I'm gonna get something nice. Like I'm not gonna
sure,
buy garbage
make it worth
cheese anymore.
Mm-hmm. You gotta like, have, gotta have standards. Some yeah. things you can like get the store brand and then some things you're like
no.
I'm going to the fancy cheese section.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather have a not great cracker but a
exactly.
really good
yes.
cheese.
Yeah.
Like throw your
give
money
me like
cheese.
an compliments or like a no name brand like soda cracker, fancy cheese on top, Love.
Oh, yeah. Love.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So good. Can you get better than a Triscuit? I don't think so.
No.
I love Triscuits. Now they make the thin ones that are triangle shaped. Those ones were even better, in my opinion.
Those are real good.
Those snacks.
Good. Pro snacks.
We're a very pro snack.
Yeah.
Very pro charcuterie.
Oh, it's my favorite way to eat.
Yeah. Oh, it's good
time. In Manitoba, at weddings, you like because of your liquor license, you legally have to like serve a meal at like midnight.
Okay, just you have to serve food.
Sort of food. And usually it's just like some sort of garbage, like deli meats and crackers.
Sure, some plate and safe.
When I get
married,
no matter where it is in the world, even if it's we don't need to have food there, just to like pay tribute to this
thing.
I want to have like fancy charcuterie. At like midnight, it'll be so good. Drunk people eating charcuterie,
with
a charcuterie platter, be great.
The best midnight meal that I have ever had at a wedding was like a serve yourself poutine buffet bar.
I'm stealing that.
They had like hot fries, just like on the rotation.
And you just make your own.
And you
poutine.
Make your own poutine.
Oh,
it was.
Were there like fixins with like bacon bits and like, ugh.
That is
different
unreal.
Kinds of cheese and stuff. Fuck. Oh, shit. Yeah, that was God a real, damn. Real good one.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good wedding.
Don't remember who got married, but yeah, the poutine
no,
bar.
Tell you. Could not tell you.
Congratulations to the bride and groom.
Whoever
you were.
Yeah. I don't know. That part escapes me.
Oh, what about you, Katie? What'd you get? What have you been doing?
I haven't been doing much, not a whole lot. I have been a little bit obsessed with F is for Family, that cartoon show on Netflix.
I don't know that one.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny.
Oh, it's good.
It's Bill Burr, the comedian.
Okay, yes, I'm familiar with Bill Burr.
It's sort of based on his family growing up, so it's set in like the 70s.
Yeah.
And he sort of placed himself as one of the kids in the family who's, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, like he's pretty young.
Uh-huh.
And it's fucking hilarious. Like some
it's
of the stuff
during Justin Long,
yeah.
Sam Rockwell.
Some yeah. of the stuff that they put into that cartoon
is hilarious. And it's subtle.
So,
a lot of it's subtle.
A lot of it's subtle, but then there's like some like pornographic imagery. There's some stuff in there that I've never seen in a cartoon before.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical. It's really well done. It's not like a typical, you know, punchline, laugh track every minute kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's like quite honest and, you know, kind of gritty, but hilarious, really well written. And the characters are all super great. Like the kids are hilarious.
So funny. All of them are hilarious.
Nice.
Billy's little friend who can't really deal with anything, just
so
sort of curls
good.
Up into a ball
like
and sings
like,
himself a song.
Totally. The best.
He's adorable.
Braces.
And the kid, Justin Long, plays the oldest son, who's like 15 in the series.
Check this out.
And just the struggling quote unquote artist, musician. And it's right in the time of like Led Zeppelin and the whole wizards and
fantasy
all
rock
of this
roll,
stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be this musician and you know, he doesn't have any privacy and he's just like, can't catch a break, Dad! Like, it's so funny. It's like, it's an enjoyable show.
Yeah.
It's not for children, but it's fucking hilarious.
Excellent. So I'm going to have to give it a try when I'm sitting around sometime looking for something to watch on Netflix.
Yeah, it's good. And they're only like half hour episodes. And the neighbor is Sam Rockwell, who's basically, what's his name? Wooderson in Dazed and Confused, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
It's basically
yes.
that character. Works for a radio station, does tons of cocaine, just like has this insane house with these insane girls coming and going all the time. And it's great. It's a really funny show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Plus, been eating up a lot of your time.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Sweet.
So that's basically what I've been up to. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
We do want to go for a camping getaway trip this weekend because we're
That'd
trying
be
to get out of town and Chris's work schedule is going to get icky.
Mm.
So yeah, not a whole lot. But we just recorded. That feels like
not
that
long
ago. So I feel like
we haven't had time.
We haven't had time
anything.
To do anything that's exciting. But
just regular stuff.
What's new with you?
With me.
Livy, what you got going on?
Oh, you know, just working it a lot. It's corporate world is a lot of work and no breaks. But it's been good. Yeah, I've been currently, I had a really bad migraine on, I guess it was Monday, and I came to work the next day, and I was just kind of loopy, like not, I don't even know how I got to work, really, but I got to work, and there was a little gift on my desk from a coworker, and I opened it up, and it's a hot dog stapler, and I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
Love it.
And I have an obsession with hot dogs to begin with, and she knows this, like, from day one when this I started.
This wasn't a, like, what's the word?
Just on a whim?
Coincidence? No, no. Well, no, it wasn't a coincidence at all. It was intentional. But, yeah, day one that I started at my job, I told everyone that I was obsessed with hot dogs. And I think at my birthday was like 5 days later and they got me a hot dog cake. So everyone at work knows that I just love hot dogs.
Awesome.
And she gave me this fucking rad stapler.
It looks exactly like it's the hot dog emoji.
Hot dog.
Like it's legit. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's like
and
a hot
useful?
Dog that's a sneaky
Amazing.
Stapler. I know. It's so that's what I've been up to, really.
It's stapling shit.
Stapling shit with my new stapler.
Just finding excuses to staple stuff.
Oh, can I staple that for you?
What are you guys doing? Do you need some stapling?
You need something.
Did you guys see my new stapler?
Stuck together?
Would you like
you guys see my stapler?
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome.
Yeah, so.
Well, that sounds like a lovely work environment.
I mean,
it could
it's
be
very
worse.
Welcoming.
There you go. That's good. Mm-hmm. If they're working to the bone, they might as well be nice about it, I guess.
Right?
Well, speaking of working to the bone, I wanted to basically have you on and pick your brain about this trip that you went to Asia, because this is something that certainly I've never got to experience in any professional way.
Yeah.
To go to a factory, and you went to a few factories and a few sort of behind the scenes things that stuff that happens constantly all day, 24/7 in the fashion industry, but you only hear about it when some disaster strikes.
Yeah.
Like you don't really
crazy.
Yeah. Something horrible has happened for you to, for that light to get shone on that side of things.
Yeah.
So having never, you know, done it ourselves, any of us.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was a trip.
I want to hear all about it. So tell us.
Yeah.
Maybe tell us about what you do as your job. And then you can say how that fits into what you
do. Cool. I develop material. So I work for a company in Vancouver that is an athletic company. And we have a raw materials department because we develop our own materials for our designs and for our product. So my job is to collaborate with the special technicians on the factory side to develop a fabric that design has then briefed us that they need. So it's usually something quite broad, like they're looking for something for lightweight tops that it has to have kind of a list of performance attributes. And my job is basically to create that fabric, whether that be off of a hanger from that mill that we work with, or if it's something that is like a lighter version of an existing fabric that we have. So it can kind of be a lot of things. A lot of the time, though, it's from a new hanger, which is the coolest part because it's something that we haven't done before. So it can be really innovative in that sense. So
that's really cool.
And so I've been lucky enough to be part of a pretty technical department of the company. So I've been working with a lot of new fiber contents and new, like, for instance, I'm working with a high abrasion fiber right now, which provides extra, like, high abrasion.
Can handle a lot of
friction,
a lot of stress. Okay, cool.
Designed for trail running, or I don't know, if you're going to a workout where there's a lot of friction on the ground.
Or the machine or whatever.
Or even just running, because a lot of the time.
Like your thighs rubbing together?
Yeah. Thighs rubbing
together. I mean, who has
a huge
I don't know
gap.
About that.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
But I know other people
do.
Never experienced that emotion.
So that's kind of my job in a nutshell, is to make fabric. Which is not something I ever ever thought that I would do, ever. But it's been cool. It's kind of this thing that I've stumbled upon that kind of marries both my interest in design and technical kind of, yeah, background, I guess. So,
it's yeah. so interesting to think mm-hmm. that, like, because lots of times, like, every company that I've worked for that, like, if when we're doing our own designs or, like, Evan, your own collections mm-hmm. and any company that we'd work yeah. for, you're at the mercy of the fabric suppliers.
Yeah. yeah.
So you're,
you pick
like,
from what they have.
Yeah.
And you make it work. Yeah. Hopefully they either are still making it, they still have it in stock, yeah. or they have low enough minimums that you can afford to buy just what you want, or
you have to buy 1,000 meters at a time or something.
Meters yeah. or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you don't, you just get what you get and you don't get upset.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like you samples and you That's choose it. From what they have.
Yeah. And hopefully it works out. Hopefully yeah. they send you the right thing. Sometimes they send you the wrong thing and your timing
and
dictates that you're fucked and you have to just use it anyways or, yeah. you
or
know,
scrap it and eat the.
Eat and the eat cost it and whatever, hopefully yeah. they'll give you a credit on the next order or like whatever yeah. it is. So yeah. like a company that
develops,
like
in
a, especially
own.
A position of like yours that develops yeah. your own fabrics within that whole design thing is so cool. I think that's such an interesting.
Yeah, it's very, it's different for sure. I honestly didn't even know this was a job until I came to the place that I'm working now.
But we talked about that a bunch of times.
Crazy.
Like, there's stuff
so many jobs that you
don't
just
know.
Don't know
yeah.
even
no
exist
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, and especially yeah. Not we don't have a lot of the three of us don't have necessarily a lot of experience in like athletic or performance
yeah. mm-hmm.
garments
yeah.
as well. Like I just work make cotton shirts, and
right.
Evan makes you know chiffon and mesh and yeah. you know, like whatever. like we're to have the that part of the design process. Be part of the design process that you get to create. Yeah. Like you say, you have specific attributes that have to
exactly.
be met or created or, yeah. you know, adhered to
yeah.
because you will be doing X, Y, and Z
yeah.
in it's this garment.
Nuts.
Not just sitting around on your couch eating potato chips, which is what I require yeah. of my clothing.
yeah, it's nice to think that there's like I try.
Do I have to dry clean it? No. Done.
Done. Cool. Yeah. I'll take it. I think that, you know, function always has to be part of it. I think that in general, the industry can yeah. be pretty frivolous.
Oh, for sure.
The whole fast fashion concept is based on frivolity and, to a certain extent.
And, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Having the function like built into a design, especially with athletic wear, I mean, you kind of can't have one without the other. But I think that's such an interesting sort of wrench to throw into the design process. Mm-hmm. It's like you got to think a little more on your toes and you got to be a little more technically savvy.
Totally.
So, you must have met so many people who are just like vastly knowledgeable
yeah,
in
that was like
very
the number
specific
one
things.
Thing coming back from my trip was because I had the least amount of experience with the people that I went with. I was very fortunate to go with a manager who is so knowledgeable.
Oh, thank God.
Like, in all of it. She lived in Morocco. Like, she's lived all over the world doing fabric development. She's worked in mills and all
wow.
these different things. Like, her amount of knowledge, I don't even want to think about how much it is because
sure.
I have no idea.
you can't even fathom it.
I don't
at the
know.
Moment.
So that was a very humbling part of going on this trip.
That's
was
exciting.
Being like, oh, I don't really know anything.
Let me just get my notebook.
yeah.
Everything you say and do.
It's just so, there's so much science behind it
yeah.
and a lot of chemistry, which I was never good at in high school. Just like that.
So, okay. So where exactly did you go? You flew from here to Taiwan or were
yeah.
you to China first?
I started, so we flew to Hong Kong. It was a fucking whirlwind trip. These trips always are, but I flew to Hong Kong and we spent one night in Hong Kong because we got in quite late, which by the way, that flight is a nightmare. Like 14 hours? No thanks.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
10 hours, you're like, I need to get off.
Oh, so 5 more hours? Great.
Yeah. Ugh. You get bored of movies. Anyways, so we flew to Hong Kong and then we had to drive from Hong Kong to a place in China called Dongguan. And that's basically factory land. Actually, it's factory and porn land. It's the largest porn producing city in China.
What?
That's where all the Asian Chinese porn comes from is this city.
Oh, you learn something every day.
The weirdest experience. Wow. There's factories everywhere, and the city or the town that you stay in is tiny, but there's all these like very extravagant hotels, and yeah, there's just porn everywhere.
Porn in four-way stretch.
Yeah, it's nuts. Anyway, yeah, so it was a two-hour drive, and going across the Chinese border, like the border into China, was pretty intense. They take your temperature and...
Oh, sure, they want to make sure you're sick?
They have like a whole list of diseases that you can't have.
They don't want.
Which, well, fair enough, I guess. So, yeah, we went... The first factory I went to, my manager was saying, this is the best one that we'll see. So...
Oh, I didn't know what to expect. She must have seen all these places before.
We kind of made the rounds because you work with, like, you have to have onboarded mills in order to work with them. You're not typically, if it's a big company, you're not going to work with just any mill. They will usually have to go through a list of standards. And it's like a 6-month process to onboard a mill to a company.
Make sure everything is
like you have to
compatible
do visits that are typically like a month or maybe even more. Depending.
Well, that's just actually to make reassuring.
Sure. I was going to say, that's, exactly. That's good to know.
Not every company does this, obviously, but
some people do. Which
some
is
people
nice.
Do. So that's good to know that like you're checking all the boxes and measures and ethical measures. So that was interesting. And we walked through the mill after having like a discussion about ongoing developments and stuff. Mm. But the mill was massive. I was not prepared for that. It spanned, I don't even know how many kilometers. It was like
Holy
4
God.
Kilometers long.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just the mill.
Oh, my God. Just full of machines.
Because they just have so many different departments of, like, knitting constructions. Because if it's a knit mill, if it's specializing in knits, there are so many different constructions in knits. Like, jacquard knits. Rochelle knits, like weft, warp. There's so many.
So the mill is where they take the yarn and turn it into actual
fabric.
Or they knit it into actual fabric.
Yes.
Or they weave it, I think in this case, more knitting into the fabric, which then you guys will then take to use for your designs back here.
Exactly.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Just to keep everybody on track.
Yeah. In the loop.
And sometimes the mill will also spin the yarn. That's not an all the time thing, but... We went to a couple mills that actually spin the yarn themselves as well. Because, like, yarn is a whole nother game. Like,
that it's is a whole thing.
It's a
too.
Whole thing. There's different ways that a yarn can be spun in terms of how it's going to later then perform in a material or how it's going to then take to dye. Or if it's cheaper if you spin it this way, but more expensive, it's nuts.
So just think of the tiny, tiny threads that are of making your
exactly.
yoga pants or your t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
That is purposefully constructed with the direction of spin, with the fiber content.
Yeah.
With
how thick it is.
How thick
thin
it is. The weight of it. Yeah. If it's in a spinneret, like if it's a synthetic and it's translated from a liquid or some sort of fluid and then created into a thread.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's, yeah. That,
like you said, it's chemistry and physics
exactly.
and
like
oh wow
engineering because
yeah.
we're looking at all these machines and you're like how the hell does that work and they're huge
oh wow
and yeah so and the finishing and setting of fabric is a whole nother thing like typically speaking if you're one of the craziest things I learned on this trip because when you work in fashion you're looking at the width of the fabric.
Yeah.
So, and it never runs parallel to your garments, ever. You're
never
going to get
precisely.
An IMU that is ideal, typically, especially if you're buying the fabric outright from a mill and you're not developing it. But, so mills will typically, it's like a range from 60 to 65 is like the key place to be in with a cuttable width
is that
of
inches?
Fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
inches
wide. Yeah, okay.
So if a mill is just making a fabric just from scratch and they've decided that they want to create this fabric because they think it's going to be
Someone
sold.
Will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll typically go for that kind of window, but it's weird how much that can change just in the way that it's knit. So the way that that it's knit, it can change, like, you can go down 4 inches to 7 inches, or the way that it's set, they can make it expand 4 inches. Like, it's crazy.
What do you mean set? What does that mean?
So when you've knitted the fabric and you've dyed it and it's gone through all of the, like, you're adding finishers such as, like, say, if you needed wicking or if you needed a softener agent, it's gone through all of that. And when you're setting it, it just basically goes through this. Some of them are 8 chambers, but 10 chambers sometimes to oven that basically bakes the fabric.
Wow.
And sits on this thing called a stentor, which on the salvage edge of your fabric, it's all those little holes. So it sits on those pins and pulls it along. So that's actually another interesting thing. Typically, where the holes face off, if they're making like little mountains, that's going to be your face side of the fabric because it sits on the stentor with the face side up.
Good.
So if you ever need to know
the right from wrong,
you can't tell.
Pro tip.
Yeah. So, but the stentor can also, depending on how much you're stretching it before it goes through these chambers, it can totally change the width of the fabric.
Crazy. And knits can be so crazy and finicky and like even before, like I remember working on a garment at my last job and we were making a dress and we were using a fabric called Lyocell, which is a knit, but it didn't have stretch. There was no stretch in it. So
interesting.
Yeah. It was weird. It was really weird.
It had
that's
give.
Like, that's like a main quality of a knit is that there's some sort of stretch.
Yeah,
to it
had like a give
to it, right? Yeah, but there was no spandex. There was no elasticity. So it had,
it only went fluidity. So far.
Yeah. So we had to cut, this might sound a little bit technical, but we had to cut a facing for a tie. So we had to have this long, long piece that was, you know, parallel to the grain line and this long, long, long piece. So then when we cut it on the table, it was exactly the length that it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Mm.
And when I picked it up off the table, it was about 6-8 inches longer.
Yeah.
So then I had to fuse it.
Oh, crying out loud.
So when you had to, with fusing is when you iron an interfacing to it and it
material on
it stiffens it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I had to like basically push this fabric back together so that it would, because I knew it was the right length because I cut it.
Like you measured it.
Was it a print?
Right?
Is that why you couldn't just chop it?
No, because I needed it to be the same as the rest of the garment, right?
Yeah.
Like it needed
to be
the
weight
same.
The same.
Plus, you know, it had to be the same treatment. If it had that mechanical stretch, like the warp and the weft will probably be distorted.
Yeah.
If you're holding it up, then you want it to be straight on grain.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd have to then.
So we'd have to be, and when you, if you want it to be fused, you're giving it more strength already because it's a pretty flimsy fabric.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just blew my mind how much of I know this thing was 6 inches, you know, 2 minutes ago, and now it's 10. Long. Like, how did that work? But knits are super weird like that. But
yeah, they
are. It must have been so insane to actually see the process of them all like getting put together. Yeah. I had no idea that they would get baked in an oven.
Yeah.
And that was like from yarn, like when a yarn, when a factory, when a mill gets the yarn from the yarn supplier, it comes on individual cones, which you would see on, say, a serger, like those tall cones.
They're
kind
of thread.
Production. Sure. Yeah. So it goes on to this machine that basically unwinds the cones and then rewinds it onto this huge beam so that the actual knitting machines can use the yarn to then knit the fabric.
Oh. Uh-huh.
It's crazy because it's basically like you need to have the appropriate size bobbin or like yarn spool, basically, to be able to knit the fabric appropriately.
Sure.
So then it has to have the right tension.
So like
if it's Lycra, you can't overstretch it and you can't stretch it to not enough. Like it totally changes the material.
And it must be such a small margin of error.
I was just going to say, how do you know, like, just one tiny little alteration or one dial or whatever?
Well, they have these, you know, like little sensors, depending on how modern the factory is. Mm. Not all of them are up to.
Oh, they have, like, lasers and shit to, like, check
thicknesses. They have sensors on each.
Heat stuff and.
It's crazy. They have sensors on each individual cone to know if the tension is slightly off or if a thread breaks.
Uh-huh.
And like that's the same on the knitting machines as well.
Things up if
oh yeah.
if the yarn broke.
And like, yeah. just every step of the process has to be absolutely perfect. Otherwise, it won't come out. And something that I learned during a develop that I'm working on right now, you can change the amount that the fabric curls. So, really? Like, if you're knitting a fabric and you're, say, you're making a t-shirt and you're finding that the fabric is curling a lot, that's something that they can change and can totally alter just by changing the yarn or adding slightly more lycra or, switching to a different yarn spinning technique.
That can be a huge deal breaker if you work with jerseys a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My last
especially
job, with jerseys all the
production,
time.
Like mass manufacturing.
Yeah. You want to make it as easy.
You can't take the time to flatten out your curled edges. Yeah.
Well, we worked with a factory in my last job that they would, I think they would cut, they would lay out the fabric for production and then they would cut the edges because the curl was so
just got in
brutal.
The way and was so, which is in the ass.
It was like, forget it. We're just going to cut the shit off.
Yeah.
And you're just going
to
lose those.
Oh, she's
going
to say, and then
you
have, to then account for that in your.
Yeah, you do.
In the pattern making.
Yeah. In your marker making or whatever, when you have your pattern pieces all laid out, knowing that there's going to be an inch off each side that's going to be cut.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever cut a jersey that's maybe not that great of a jersey, or they've cut a long strip and for a. A collar or a neckband or something or whatever, for binding or whatever. You know how quick that as soon as you lift it off the table.
It's like spaghetti.
Yeah. just curls in.
Just
and,
sew that piece of spaghetti onto that neck hole.
It's like a scroll. It just rolls right back up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a lasagna piece and where it curls on the end. Just flatten that out.
And you can iron it. And that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can iron it.
How weird.
Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, the first factory was a trip.
Intense.
And then after that, it was just factory after factory after factory. It was okay.
So did you go to any yarn factories where they actually produce?
Yeah. So when we went from China, we went over to Taiwan and saw a few factories there. But one of the factories was actually a woven factory and they do their own yarn spinning there. And that was very, very, very loud and very interesting. Woven factories, the sound is incredible. Knit factories, for some reason, the machines are not as loud. But in woven factories, because the machines are a lot smaller, they can fit a lot of machines in one room.
Oh, right. So even a loom, just a regular, a home loom or a loom that you'd see, a hobby loom or something.
Yeah.
When you go to your Ren Fair and you see the loom, you know what I'm talking about.
You know. Yeah.
Because they have all those pieces that move up and down and they
and they
click
the shuttle
and clack
going
and they
back
shuttle
and
back.
Forth.
It is an incredible amount of noise.
Oh,
my
God. I
could not believe it. But yeah, so we went to a woven factory and that was very cool to see because I was very interested in seeing what wovens are about because I mostly work with knits. But and then we also went to a natural factory because I mostly work with synthetics. Mm-hmm. But we went to a factory that makes its own yarn and it's cotton. So they specialize in cotton, Pima cotton more specifically.
Which is a real nice cotton.
Oh, it's real nice.
What's the deal with Pima?
Pima,
is it South American?
It's like the top.
Where's it from?
It's no, like
I forget
the top
it's from.
Tier. Or it has the least amount of debris or something in it, right?
Yeah.
Or something? I forget what the specifics are.
Don't quote me on this, but I think it's Pima cotton it's something to do with the combing of the actual fibers before it's spun into a yarn.
Got it.
So, yeah, that was crazy to see at this factory in Taiwan was the process of these huge bales of cotton that then get combed a million times, essentially, and then kind of wound into a thicker yarn and then spun into a very, very small yarn and spun with, and then you knit it together with lycra and that's how you make your jerseys or whatever. But yeah, that was very interesting
cool.
to see the actual raw fiber being turned into yarn.
I guess that's more relatable kind of thing to see.
It made way more sense.
Yeah. Than just a bunch of chemicals coming out into a tube of filaments and then those filaments get turned into another thing
spun
and go
out into this
oven.
And that and then cotton
and this is something I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Comes from a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was very cool to see. But, I mean, it's crazy to think of factories that aren't up to a certain standard, because these factories, as nice as they were, I won't bash them at all, but, like, it's a totally different world.
It's still a giant factory.
It's still a huge factory. And you're in a totally different culture. And I'd never been to Asia before, so it was a total culture trip for me.
I bet.
To begin with. And we were able to spend a weekend in Taiwan, which was amazing, just to walk around the city and just hang out and do whatever.
But yeah, let's just sit inside a factory.
Yeah. We ate some interesting food, because when you go, you're meeting with vendors that you work so closely with, and it's customary for them to take you out for lunch and take you out for dinner. I had shark bladder not voluntarily. They were like, surprise, just eat it. And I didn't want to be rude.
Sure.
So I did, and it was disgusting.
Not to your...
At least it sounds like it's going to be disgusting.
Yeah. That's why they didn't tell me.
Like, so they told you after the fact.
Exactly.
Just try it. You'll just like so you it.
Know. Yeah.
Oh.
It was gross. Everything that you think it's going to be.
How did they even get the sharks? Never mind. I don't know.
That's another
thing. Let's not open that can. No.
After I ate it, I was like, I don't know if I'm actually morally okay with this.
Seriously.
Should I be mad?
Yeah.
I kind of was.
Understandable. Yeah. It must be strange, too, because, like, I mean, the people that are taking you out, like, this is a business transaction, essentially.
And it's a very important
sort of thing in Asia. It's a big deal.
Huge deal.
And they're very serious about it.
And there are people that you have communicated with before, but maybe have never met in person, which is another weird thing.
And
then there's the language barrier and the whole culture
barrier.
Yes.
That's... And the level of politeness and courtesy and respect that you need to show your host and what you would expect from them if they were coming here, and which is probably way less than what you would expect or what they would expect from you, because I think they have in Asia, I think they have higher standards of like
protocol
and
hospitality.
Especially in the professional realm.
It's very different from because they'll come and visit Vancouver fairly regularly because they'll bring whatever's new.
Sure.
And it's crazy how different the North American culture is in comparison, because you basically don't have to plan your trip at all when you're going to Asia. It's planned for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll
just show up and
lunch,
get in the
dinner,
bus.
Like,
and, yeah.
If you're free at any time, someone will take you out. Like weekends, people that you're working with will ask, okay, well, what are you doing this weekend? Do you want to see this? They'll take you on hikes. It's like very opposite to the North. Like, do you want to have pizza one night? Maybe? Order in. It's
like, we should get Chinese. I know a really good
spot. I know.
Oh, my God.
It's like, ugh. Terrible. My. But yeah.
But like, I guess anytime too, I mean, we've traveled for work before and been away from work for a week or 2 weeks at a time, and like by the end of it you're like, regardless of how cool a spot is or of how much you're learning, it's fucking exhausting.
You're always working. That's 24/7. I mean, even if you really like the people that you're on your trip with,
it's still work.
It's still work. Not
you're
your still own bed.
Not
still,
your bed.
And not
still,
a vacation.
You don't get a break from these people like you normally do. I was so ready to come home. Beyond ready. But it was great. And I would totally go again. I mean, it was very cool to see Asia and see all these factories. And
Because that's something
pretty exciting.
You know, most people who work, you know, quote unquote, in fashion, absolutely never get to see. Never get to even... Mm. There's only a small fraction of people on the higher end of things, or in, you know, that one specific side of the industry who get to go and see that kind of thing.
Sure. Or if you work for a company of a certain size or with a certain requirement, or, you know, you don't ever get to do that.
Yeah. It was crazy. And it's very interesting now in my day-to-day job to see how much I've learned from that trip and actually being able to picture what's going on, like what I'm asking. Because when I first started, it was kind of like, ask them this, and I would, and I had no idea what I was talking about or doing or what I was asking. But now you kind of have a better idea of what is going on in that factory. Nice.
So what and was... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's crazy to think of how much fabric you're making. Because
right,
at a big company scale, you're making thousands of yards of fabric. So any small changes that need to happen, whether they're your own in your hands or they're someone else's request, it's painful to be like, no, you're going to have to stop knitting and start again.
No.
And this is a really, really late request and we need it by next week. And it's like, you have to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
I guess that's like one of the only instances we've talked about this before where the fashion industry and the fabric industry tend to run parallel to each other.
They never.
But this is one of the instances where there's a bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to just be a certain size of company, essentially.
Yeah.
Or do a certain kind of fabric and have a certain kind of relationship with those mills.
Definitely.
But there's not a lot of those bridges. But
no.
So what was the was there a highlight? Anything that was like that really kind of stuck out about the whole trip or about the factories or, I mean, any part of it?
Yeah, I have to say that the cotton factory we went to was a huge highlight because, again, seeing the whole process from fiber to yarn to fabric was amazing, but also seeing the color mixing. So she did it on someone that works in the color lab there did it on a very small scale, but they basically dye different batches of cotton and then mix the fibers together and comb them together to achieve
whatever they want.
And that's not necessarily yeah, exactly. It's like paint. You're using two combs to just comb them together and make
weird.
A color. It's not necessarily always the way that they will produce the color, but a lot of the time is.
Cool.
And just to see, sometimes it's just a testing. So I take this amount of this color and this, and you're basically just figuring out the percentages that you're going to be using.
Yeah.
This
much pink
color.
And this much blue make this level of purple.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Cool. Which is really cool because the dyeing is a whole world where
there's a
lot of chemicals. And we went into a few dye rooms that you definitely needed a lot of protection in terms of mouth, ears, eyes. And I didn't have any, so I basically had to put my hands over my face. It was nuts.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, weird.
So yeah, it's cool to see it, that there's ways to experiment with color.
It's like kindergarten.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Kindergarten class, like mixing paints.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't really do that.
It was cool. Yeah, it was a very interesting part of the trip for sure.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, we're heading up on the time where we should get into our obsessions because
we've
done all of our talking.
We've picked your brain enough for now.
Not enough. I mean, I'm sure we could keep talking for the next 2 hours, but we shouldn't.
We'll just have a reason to have Olivia back another time. We'll save it.
So let's take a quick break. Episode. And everybody, get to another round of your vodka sodas, and we'll be right back.
Y'all! And we're back. We're back, and everybody has an obsession, which is good. We can all contribute what we're talking about. Olivia, you go first. How about that?
Whoa.
I'm going to throw the ball your way.
Whoa. Okay.
Pressure's on.
I have an obsession. It's a new... kind of a refound obsession.
Ooh, those can be some of the best ones.
Yeah. Refound from when I was like 8.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it horses?
Is it dolphin stickers and Lisa Frank?
New kids on the block in my dating menu.
You guessed it. No, it's a musical instrument.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. It's a melodica. No one's ever heard of it.
There's harmonica.
Harmonica, similar. It's basically like a recorder, but it has a keyboard.
But way cooler.
It's got a keyboard. It's like a mouth piano.
I know the ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. My grandfather gave it to me when I was about 8. And
did you drive your family insane?
My family are pumped on
music. Oh, they were into it? Okay.
Oh, but okay. Like, I probably drove them insane.
My mother would have driven it over by with the car. For sure.
No, yeah, they were pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, you come from a musical family.
I come from quite a musical family.
That's awesome.
I also know how to play the accordion. So
and the clarinet.
And the clarinet. So the melodica was like even ground between the clarinet and the accordion.
Yeah, I bet.
So anyways, I was back in Victoria where I grew up at my parents' house, and my mom was forcing me to go through all my old shit in the basement.
That she's been taking care of for you.
Oh, yeah. And I found it, and now it's at my house, and my boyfriend Adam is probably not pumped on the Sunday morning serenading that has been happening. I also brought my old music book with me, so I have songs that I can play.
Yeah.
Thank God. But so that's my recent obsession.
I'm awesome. Into it.
It's a good one.
I like it.
Yeah.
I am on board. When I bike to work in the morning, there's always a guy. I bike under a bridge on the way on the bike rack or on the bike path. And there's always a guy in the morning on a saxophone. And he actually knows how to play, but he goes out and plays every morning the bridge. So the sound is really cool. And and he actually knows how to do it. Otherwise, it would be infuriating. But he actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah, calm the place.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Maybe I should do that with the melodica.
Go play on the bridge.
Join him.
Go do it.
I like what you're doing.
Do you know hot pass?
Let's get out of here.
I've been practicing. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen it actually. It's like this awesome like seafoam green color.
Ooh. It's like cool. It's pretty cool. It's a cool coffee piece.
Yeah.
Coffee table piece.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Uh-huh. It's dope. Yeah.
Oh, that's just my melodica. Would you like to hear something?
Oh, you know. Just like a jazz flute. Just start breaking it out.
You just pull it out of your sleeve and start playing. You're sitting on the bus. On the bus.
On the bus. I should start doing
Everyone's
it
like,
on the
ding,
bus.
Ding, 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 ding. I'll
get up here. Thank you.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Exciting.
I kid. Maybe you're very good.
No, I'm not.
Well, they make a lovely sound.
It
and
does.
Like, I know Belle and Sebastian uses them and a couple of like with bands. Like, it's a lovely sound.
It is a nice sound.
Yeah, they're cool.
And they do fit in your pocket. You could take it.
It does, I can put it in my bag.
Yeah, there you go. Like, put it in your bottle pocket.
You're
going
to have to bring it to
Rec Beach.
It'll be very welcome to Rec Beach.
Oh, I should bring it
to Rec
Beach.
There'll be many people who will come up with the bongo drum with the guitar.
Those drums are going to just
well, they will swarm.
Yeah. Just appear.
That's a good tip.
Need lots of good tips at Rec Beach.
Ayo. It's been a while since I got a good dick joke.
Times. I think our last one was about Rec Beach.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, it's
there.
The
nude
beach.
There.
It's the nude beach. What are you going to do?
It's hard not to joke about it, really.
Oh, come on. I dare you.
What are you obsessing about these days?
Maya Angelou.
Okay, sweet.
Go on.
Nice. Good one.
I watched the Maya Angelou documentary on Netflix.
I have not watched it.
I think I started watching it before the last episode, and I finished it the night of the recording of the last episode.
Nice.
And I've just been like on just a full-on tilt. I like looked at my I searched for Maya Angelou on the podcast app on iTunes. Listened to literally everything she's ever done.
Sure, interviews, performances,
and like
whatever.
A lot of them are doubles, but I don't care. Like you could listen
That's
to
fine.
Her.
She's
say anything.
Such an amazing,
And it's just like she's just been this like voice of solace in my panic attacks and like my anxiety.
Yeah.
But this one poem in particular, "On the Pulse of Morning," which she read at the inauguration of Bill Clinton, his first inauguration, and it's just amazing. It's just basically she came out and she just came out swinging. She's like, I'm not taking any prisoners. I'm going to read you all. Fuck y'all. Fuck colonization. Fuck slavery. Fuck white supremacy. Fuck oil. Fuck big government. Fuck everything. But she's just said it in like this such
but
a
she's
powerful,
a poet, right?
Poetic way.
Yes, but she knows what she's doing.
And there's a video that we can put on the on the blog of that particular poem that she recites, and it's just amazing.
Cool.
A former podcast guest V came over, and I played it for her, and she was just like sobbing on my couch. She's like, "I want more." And we just spent the whole day watching videos of Maya Angelou. And yeah, it's just,
that's awesome.
Like, I'd never known a lot about her life. I've just,
okay, you know her name,
and I know her name, and I know her poetry.
Yeah,
but I never knew much about her upbringing and her journey to becoming like a professor and an editor and an actress and a director and like this multi hyphenate,
this huge force in culture and
just like.
Cultural identity. It's
extremely inspiring for someone who had such an oppressed upbringing to have made such an impact on the world and taken such an inclusive and intersectional approach to her messaging. Because she, that's like, she had every right and every reason to be bitter, but she decided not to be. And just like her... coming from someone who can hold a grudge
pretty tightly,
it's kind of like inspired me to open myself up a bit more to
being more compassionate,
to live your life with gratitude and compassion as opposed to being angry. It's just, if you need some sort of inspiration or you're feeling down, just YouTube Maya Angelou, especially the interview she's done with Oprah, are just amazing.
Her friend Oprah?
Yeah.
Her BFF?
Excuse me. It's Oprah's. So from Oprah would say, my friend Maya Angelou. But yeah, there's just so many amazing interviews. There's a couple from the 80s where people, they have the audacity to refer to her by her first name. And she's like, excuse me, but at that point, she was like in her early 50s. I'm 50 something years old and I've done my time, and you will address me as Miss Angelou or Dr. Angelou. Thank you very much. You may ask your question.
That pumps me up. That's
pretty exciting.
Just to sass someone and put them in their place so politely and respectfully. Hey, listen, fuck you.
Yeah.
Especially for something like here's that, where like, I'm a fucking doctor. I am an institution.
Exactly.
Don't fuck with me.
Go on with your question.
So basically, you don't know me well enough
to refer to me
by my first name.
Yeah.
And it's just like this Southern, so of the time of when she was raised, that you never referred to anyone who was older than you by their first name.
Yeah. Like, and you never call your friend's parents by their first name,
there's this
or
one,
teacher,
exactly,
or, you know.
Yeah, there's this one amazing interview where she's talking to someone where everyone on the black side of the town that she grew up in, Arkansas, would refer to her grandmother as Sister Henderson or Mrs. Henderson, and everyone would. And then any white person, a white child, would walk into their store and call her by the first name Annie. And just that was even worse than beating her up. Like, it was just such a sign of disrespect. And she would beat kids up if they were disrespecting her grandmother, and she would get beaten by other kids. And it was just like this insane story. It's just, like, just watch that documentary. That if you want like a good fix, that documentary
overview
on Netflix.
Yep.
What's it called? Just, what's the doc called?
And Still I Rise.
Ooh. Oh, well, there you go.
After the poem.
Ah.
Yeah.
We'll link it up.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
I love a good doc. I'll watch that.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Especially like a fierce badass lady. Yeah, I'm gonna
watch. After watching The Keepers, they need a little bit of a.
Exactly. I tore through The Keepers.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode. So after that, a little bit of a palate cleanser. Maybe Maya Angelou is the way to go.
Actually, also another one that's good is called Makers. I think it was an obsession of mine like a year ago, maybe. But it's a Makers documentary, and it's a 3-part series.
I think I've seen
it's
on that
the,
one. Yeah.
On Oprah Winfrey Network.
Interesting.
That's fucking good.
Sweet.
It opens with the woman whose name I can't remember, but she just ran the Boston Marathon again. But she was the first woman to run the Boston Marathon.
Oh, sure, back in the 60s, whenever it was.
And they tried to pull her off.
And they tried to pull her off. And like
her boyfriend's like protecting her.
Yeah, there's like a group of guys trying to protect her. The like race
official
was like, not my race, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, holy fuck,
just running here.
What the tits are you doing? Anyway, so it starts with her, and she was like, no, I'm going to finish this fucking race. Like, now I have to finish this race.
Yeah.
Not just for me, but for everyone.
Every woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Big old fuck you.
I was like, yeah! Watching it on my couch, like high kicks.
Yeah.
Yes!
Just like kicking.
Nice.
Yeah, that's another
good one. Flip the coffee table.
Nice.
I know my husband comes in, I'm like, fuck you! Not you.
Not you.
You mean like you.
The bigger you.
Yeah. I love you.
Capital Y.
Men
you.
In general, but not you as a man.
You. Yeah, exactly.
Also, I'm not doing the dishes tonight, so there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, this is not my obsession, but speaking of a high kick moment, I'll be getting all the details wrong. But I think it was this week, there was a big symposium somewhere in the States with a bunch of scientists, like a bunch of like quantum physicists. Mm-hmm. And string theory and blah, the gravitational, whatever. This is all
beyond our realm.
To me. Over my head. Super interested. Will not understand it on any level ever. Mm. Whatever. Respect.
Yeah.
And there was a host who was like a prominent science journalist.
Yeah.
Four men and a woman who is top, literally the top of her specific field of whatever branch of physics she's in. Oh. And it's... I'll have to find the clip for you guys because it's so satisfying. Oh, and this lady who had this experience tweeted about it later, and now she's a fucking Twitter hero. This lady was watching it, and she's watching this whole conversation go on, and the whole time, like an hour long, the lady's sitting there barely saying anything because all the men are talking, and then finally the conversation moves to the topic that this woman is the specific genius and like inventor of, essentially, this theory.
Yeah.
And the guy says, "Well, can you explain your theory on this?" And then he says, "Well, you say that blah 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 blah." And then the lady jokes. She's like. And he tries a couple times, like, super, like, shittily and passive-aggressively to be like, "Oh, but speak now." And then she's just like, "Well, you actually explained it." So, and then she laughs. And then he makes fun of her for laughing, like, giggling. Because she feels super awkward about not being able to explain her own theory that she fucking invented. So then she kind of gets a little bit of it out. And then he's jumping on her, and then a woman in the audience, this is the Twitter hero lady, stands up and says, "Let her speak!" And then the room erupts into applause.
Yeah.
And the woman, she wrote about it later, and she's like, "I'm sitting there shaking. I'm so angry. He will not let her speak." And she said, "Before I knew it, I was up and these words were coming out of my mouth. Let her speak!" And then everybody applauded.
Iconic word.
Everyone's thinking the same thing.
And then on the way out, she's still freaking out because she's still like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that happened." Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And then so many people on the way out were like, "Thank you for saying blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Like, high fives. And it's like, it was a very, and like, there's, you can hear her in the video saying, "Wow. Let her speak."
That's awesome.
That was like great. The,
so satisfying.
The nevertheless, she persisted.
Yes.
And they're like, never, like they, like on the women's, or I think it was the women's march. I forget what the specific details of that phrase being uttered by some dude in like a Senate hearing or something in the States. I can't remember what it was. But
they asked her to stop talking. And she's like, "No, I got something to say."
And then it was like, it became this like it's mantra. And all these women were like,
a call to action.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, fist in the air. It was pretty sweet.
But my real obsession?
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Going from that, I just love how we just cover all our bases.
Yeah.
It's his Instagram account called If You High.
Oh, that's good.
Is it just lots of photos of me on the weekend?
If You High. If you're watching Evan's Instagram stories.
It's a very relevant discussion we get right here.
And it's literally like a man cutting a bunch of grass really nicely and like sifting flour.
Sifting flour.
Oh, we're going to need to send this to Willow.
Yeah, weird science things. A dog with a camera. like somebody decorating a cake really nicely, oh, yeah. or like ice melting, or
so. And they just repeat and repeat.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting repeat. Carvings, or repetitive motions of things like manufacturing. Is there
people doing calligraphy? Because that's what I
yes, absolutely. Oh. Or inking, inking comics. Oh, I love it.
Because like, that's the first thing I look up. That's the
first thing I Google. Yeah,
shit. It's the weirdest thing. Some things are made up. Some things are, you know. Anyway, some of them are videos, some of them are pictures. I'm not high for any of it, but
was it called When You High?
If You High.
If You High.
If You High.
If You High on Instagram. You don't have to be high to think it's great. No. I'm sure it helps exponentially.
True.
I'm sure it'll
kill your day.
There's a lot of posts. It goes way back.
And they just go. Man. They just keep going.
And what are you going to do? You're sitting there super high and you're just going to fucking go through all of them.
Go through all
of them. So you're welcome.
Upgrade your data plan first.
Yes. And then yeah. Make sure you're on Wi-Fi. Yeah. Smoke a big doob. Get real comfy. There you go. So those are my two obsessions.
Get your charcuterie. Get your snacks.
Yeah.
Get your Triscuits and fancy cheese. Yeah. Done.
And your phone.
You're yeah. ready.
Or iPad you watch on the big screen.
Ooh.
Ooh. Fancy avocado Ooh. Carving. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing until someone created a meme.
Wait, what?
It's what a is thing? This?
Avocado carving?
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's just little,
like a sculpture?
No, it's like
inside.
Like, oh, like it's when like you carve
intricate,
out.
Intricate, yeah. like lattice work. And what? Like, they make like a flower. They make it look like a lotus coming
I
out.
I literally
of.
Just scrolled through one if you buy. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Somebody
God.
Sat there. And I've seen really geometric ones. This is like a really like Baroque looking one, kind of fancy Jeez, schmancy.
That is nuts.
I did not know that.
It's like butter carving. Avocado.
Oh, it's bizarre.
Butter sculpture.
Oh, you millennials spending money on avocados. That's why you can't buy a house. You and your avocado it's the avocados. Toast.
Oh God.
Can,
it just won't stop, will it?
Nope.
The idiocy of
I
it
know
all.
Oh yeah
like you just really idiocy. I can't
even
handle it
can't even
it's a lot
no it's
some
the only house
happening.
I'm gonna inherit or I'm gonna have or own is the one that I'm gonna inherit from my parents when yeah. they die
and it's gonna be in Manitoba
and it's gonna be in Manitoba and it's gonna be the summer house
area.
We're gonna be closing the summer house, we're gonna be opening the summer house, we're gonna be renovating the summer house mm-hmm. extensively
yeah upgrading that shit. Oh, well.
What about me, guys?
Say, Katie, have we done you yet?
No. Now that
Katie, what about you?
My obsession is actually like fashion related specifically.
Oh. Show off.
Right?
On brand.
I'm very on brand, yeah.
Hey, If You High is on brand too.
You're right. You're fair.
There's things we like. Feminism, wasting our time, and fashion.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Avocados are pretty good too.
Yeah.
So my friend Julie, who lives in Tofino, has
a company
called Market Canvas, and she makes the most beautiful leather bags. And she sent me the most beautiful black pebbled leather bag. It's called her Spy Bag. If you want to look it up on her shop on Market Canvas Leather, marketcanvas.com. You can follow her on Instagram at marketcanvas. Yep. I'm doing this all wrong. I'll link it all up on the blog.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, she made me the most beautiful black bag. It was on my Instagram last week when I got it. It's this gorgeous, like,
so
soft and supple, like, not beautiful. Too floppy, not too stiff,
yeah.
pebbled black leather with this handmade beautiful strap and two little handles. She made a fancy little pocket on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Nice, like, gold, like, brass hardware.
Nice, brass and gold hardware. Mm. It's, like, the perfect size. Like, it's not too big and not too small. You can mm-hmm. put it over your shoulder.
Cross
I
body.
Love it. Yeah. It's so nice. I'm like trying to find excuses to like
to
up the
on.
Rest of my look.
Outfit around it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Around it. Like,
yeah.
Why, like, where can we go
where I can have this purse?
Where can we go for a cheap cocktail
yeah.
that looks expensive?
Well, that's the thing. It's such bag. A classic, beautiful design that yeah. you could wear it. With a t-shirt
I know.
Or like out to dinner and it would look equally as awesome.
Yeah.
And appropriate.
It's really simple, which is totally my style. I don't mm-hmm. like anything too
anything fancy or
fussy.
Over-designed. Yeah.
yeah.
Simple lines. It's gorgeous.
You got the custom pocket on the inside.
And I got the
too.
Custom pocket oh, yeah. on the inside.
So this bag was made it's, for you.
It was made for me.
It's yes. like a Birkin.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
but better.
So check out her stuff.
Exactly.
Her stuff
or
is
$30,000 price tag.
$30,000 price tag. Check her stuff out because her stuff is beautiful and she makes it all by hand in Tofino. Beautiful Tofino.
Yeah.
On the coast of BC on the island. And it's gorgeous. She sources her leather from a place, I think, in Minnesota.
Mm.
But it's all really nice.
Beautiful.
Like thick, rich, soft, beautiful leathers. I think you guys have seen.
It oh, smells yeah. lovely.
Real nice.
It
smells amazing.
Julie does
even,
good shit.
And even things like yeah. keychains and
yeah.
headphone holders and wallets. And
yeah.
yeah. Great, like beautiful classic stuff. Bucket bag style. Yeah. Just like really simple.
Totes.
The best. Totes, the most beautiful totes. I know. They're the, because I'm such a... I'm obsessed with bags in general. I have to give myself very specific
yes.
criteria.
Yeah.
So I already have meet. Like a nice big brown leather
you
tote.
Do.
So I can't just
get another one.
Things.
Get another one. Or you could.
Get a black
and
one.
Just do
totally
it.
Different.
I already have a black other tote.
What is
wrong? I know. It's bad. It's a problem.
Weekend bag.
Right?
Yeah, I got a big duffel.
I do have a big
all
duffel.
Leather duffel.
I have a beautiful duffel that what I got.
Oh, like, yeah, the really
this
nice.
Beautiful Mexican weaving from Oaxaca,
oh,
Mexico.
Oh,
this
beautiful.
Black.
That is a good bag.
Duffel
too.
Bag. That's like an heirloom bag. Like, I'll have that
oh,
forever.
Yeah.
You'll be hanging around.
It'll be in the will.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully, my nieces and nephews will be fighting over it. Or I'll just get buried with it. I'll be crazy.
Fuck you guys. It's
that's coming
with
me. Put my ashes in the duffel
in the bag.
Yeah. Throw me off the river. That'll be fine with me. Anyway, shout out Julie, Market Canvas. Her stuff is beautiful. So mm-hmm. that I'm obsessed.
It's, check. It's out.
Sitting right over there.
Yeah.
It's never far.
Not. Yep.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we can wrap it up, I think.
I think.
Yeah, we've gone through everybody. So
no
thank
more
you
sessions.
Yeah. Very much, Olivia, for joining
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. very exciting.
So sweet.
At the very last minute, in a pinch. What are you doing?
Literally.
What are you doing in 3 hours?
nothing.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was so fun.
Yeah,
and I've been wanting to
great.
Have you on to talk about this stuff for a while, mm-hmm. so it was awesome
yeah.
that we could put it together.
I love this stuff. Yeah.
And you're totally dressed apropos.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Hank shirt.
Major points.
Yeah.
So awesome. You can find us in yeah. all of the usual places as per normal. We can...
We're still there.
We're still there. Fashion Hags Podcast on Instagram, Fashion Hags Pod on Twitter, and Fashion Hags Podcast on Facebook. Give us a follow or a like or whatever it is you do there.
FashionHagsPodcast.com.
Yeah, and we'll
Fashion
put all this stuff on the
Gmail.
Blog.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Excuse
oh,
me.
Goodness. If you guys...
Quick, have some more vodka.
Have... sorry. It's all gone. If you guys have an idea of something you want to hear us chat about on the show, or you just want to give us a shout out, or you want to show us your hag t-shirt.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, fucking do that.
More OOTDs.
We love that shit. And
Katie's dad did it. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know.
Chris.
Thanks, Dad.
Good old Chris.
I know. Number one fan.
If you want to unseat Katie's dad as number one hag fan,
oh, you got some work to do.
You got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got some ground to make up.
Get cracking.
First of all, you need to start talking to M2M to get them to sponsor the show.
Yeah, let's
yes.
get M2M
or Squarespace.
Yes. Yeah.
Casper Mattress. Blue Apron.
We know them all.
Blue
we
apron.
Know them all.
Sounds great. Yeah.
We're waiting.
Checking our inbox.
But again, yes. thanks you guys so much again for listening. If you do for real want to make an impact that would really pump us up and actually make a kind
help
of an
us
impact
out.
For us,
yeah.
write a nice review on iTunes or
yes.
wherever it
give
is
us
that
a
you,
rating
that you download your podcast from, and that is the
tell
coolest.
People about us, tag us mm-hmm. in some shit. We love it.
We love that shit so much. So
we're literally yeah. constantly trolling. Social media platforms for validation.
I haven't
so.
Slept. I haven't slept in 3 weeks. That's
no,
all I do.
No. Just rotate through.
And remember that we love you.
But we love fashion.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Fashion. Hey.